Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. We meet a most unusual catechumen today. Actually, she may be the perfect catechumen. This woman at Jacob's well in Sychar, Samaria. You heard the story again today. Jesus is going through Samaria. Not a usual thing for a Jew to do. Jews didn't show up much in those parts. It's about the sixth hour or high noon. Hot. So Jesus sits down to rest. And a woman comes out to the well. Not a usual thing for a woman to do. Well, yes, women usually drew the water, but not at that time of the day. High noon was not the time you wanted to exert yourself, like hauling up a heavy bucket of water from a deep well. All the other women of the town would have been there already at dawn when it was still cool, and then again at the end of the day when the sun was setting. So why was she there at that time of the day and alone? And why was he there at that place alone? Well, she was there at that time probably because she wasn't welcome with the other women. They didn't want to be around her. She wasn't respectable. We aren't told the reason why she had five husbands. It could have been that she'd been widowed five times. But that probably would have been mentioned. She probably would have mentioned that to explain. So more likely is that she was divorced five times, told that she wasn't good enough five times, told that she was not wanted five times, or six if you count the man she was now with who would not take her as his wife. Her life seems to have gone from one sadness to the next. She was damaged goods, chewed up and spit out by the world. So perhaps we could say not much surprised her anymore. But Jesus did. Not just that he was there in that place at that time, but that he then spoke to her. She wasn't expecting that. Probably put her guard up. This is too weird. What's going on? So why was Jesus there in that place at that time? A coincidence? Not with Jesus. Not the Jesus who searches out tax collectors and sinners and eats with them. Not the Jesus who touches lepers and raises the dead. Not the Jesus who heals on the Sabbath and says things like, the first will be last and the last first. With this Jesus, you get the impression this was no accident. That he was there in that place, at that time, was exactly for this reason. To meet someone in need. To meet someone who was an outcast. To meet someone who needed love and hope and life. To meet her. For this woman was all of that and more. So Jesus does his Jesus thing. He reaches out to her. He asks her for a drink, which, as she said, is not the usual thing for a Jew to do. But of course, this is no usual meeting, and Jesus is no usual Jew. And thus begins her catechesis. She's already passed the first hurdle of all catechesis. She knows her wretchedness. She was living it. Now, she needs to know her Savior. And that's where Jesus leads her. Little by little, she gets there to the living water, the water she is thirsting for and that Jesus wants to give her. To realize that here in Jesus is one who is not just a man and not just a Jew, but one who is greater than their father Jacob. One who is greater than the prophets. One who surpasses them all. And there's only one who could do that. The promised Messiah. And that's the second part of catechesis. Once you know your wretchedness, to then know who God is and that he is your Savior. To creed, I believe. But not just to believe with the head, but to trust with the heart. For the Christian faith is not just a set of doctrines and propositions, but a betrothal, a marriage. And who does Jesus want for his betrothed? All people, yes, that's true. But as the Bible tells us, he especially has come for the least, the lowliest, the farthest gone. People like this woman. This woman who we could probably safely say was the most damaged and notorious woman in Sychar. Yet here is Jesus wanting her. Wanting her, this five times divorced woman, as his bride. Maybe her days of having an earthly bridegroom were over, but here was a heavenly bridegroom for her. Well, slowly but surely, her guard is coming down. Her heart is opening up. She's ready for the next step. She knows who she is. She is beginning to know who God is. But the distance between them still seems enormous. How is she to have this God? Where can he be reached? How can she receive him and his gifts? This is a prayer question, a worship divine service question. Where do I go? She asks. This mountain or Jerusalem? Where am I supposed to go? As a Samaritan, she wouldn't have been welcomed in Jerusalem. Well, neither, Jesus says. The true worship of God is not now in a place, but in a person. To worship the Father in spirit and in truth is to come to the Father by the Spirit in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one through whom all the gifts of God are given. Now, this woman is not dumb. She might be an outcast, but she's not dumb. She gets what Jesus is saying. That he is talking about the promised one, the promised Messiah. She just needs to know one more thing. Which Jesus then tells her. I who speak to you am he. And then she creeds. She confesses this truth. She goes back into town and says the same thing. She puts it in the form of a question, but only to whet the thirst of others. She knows. She has been catechized by the master catechist himself. You can hear the joy in her voice. For she has gone from used to new, from unwanted to wanted, from notorious to loved. And it changed her forever. This is the journey our catechumens today have taken. To know themselves, to know who God is, and to know his gifts and where to receive them. But to know not just with the mind, but with the heart, to trust and believe. For what's in the mind may come and go, be remembered and forgotten, but what's in the heart is lived and loved and brings joy. Years from now, our confirmands will not remember all I taught them these past years. Heck, they've already forgotten some of it already. But so have all of you. But I pray they will still be here, still receiving the word of God, still repenting of their sins and receiving absolution, still eating and drinking the body and blood of their Savior, the one who laid down his life for them. Wretched as they are, unworthy as they are, that this, what we heard today from the Apostle Paul, be always in their hearts and minds. That while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, for them, and that while we were still sinners, outcasts, five-time losers, Christ died for us. That we be his own heavenly, cleansed, radiant bride. So Jesus left the well that day in Sychar, Samaria, and made his way to Jerusalem to do just that, to die for this woman. She was worth it to him. She wasn't worth it to anyone else, but she was to him. And so are you. You may not think so, and no one else in the world may think so, but you are to the only one who really matters, Jesus. What he did not just for the world, but for you. And that is what our catechumens have learned, that God has made me, that he has redeemed me, that he has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified me. He baptized me and made me his own. He absolves me, wretched sinner that I am. And he feeds me with his own body and blood. Not because I deserve any of this, because I don't and I never will. But he does not because of who I am, but because of who he is, the God of love, life, and salvation. So Jesus left the well that day in Sychar, Samaria, to do that for us. And I pray that our catechumens and all of you leave this place today as the woman did, to creed, to confess your Savior to your friends and neighbors and anyone who would listen. Not because you have to, but because you just have to. Because you can't help it. Because of the joy of your Savior in your heart, the joy of his forgiveness, the joy of his promises in life. Of the one who just doesn't just love us when we're good or useful or lovable, but always, and will never stop. And that's why he has come here today for you, to give you a drink, to give you living water, to give you his Spirit, to give you his forgiveness, to give you his life, to give you his body and blood, to give you himself. For here, there are no orphans or widows or outcasts. Only brides of the heavenly bridegroom. The one who knows all we ever did and loves us anyway. And who else could that be but indeed the Savior of the world? Here, just as he was that day in Sychar, sitting by a well, waiting for a sinner, so is he here for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.